Welcome to the Fellow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:21 PM and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 31st. Well, we had a pretty impressive rally on Wall Street in here today, and the Nasdaq is back at a pretty critical level. That having broken back below the trend mean last week, then now it has rebounded back to test it and that psychological 7,000 level. So that's, I think, an important arbiter here of exactly what we can expect. What is it that is going to happen next? Well, it wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance in here today, and it was briefly above the 7,000 level, and it's pressuring. I think if we just simply look at that unrequiting progression of lower rally highs that we had from the second half of this month, it has broken those, but there's still a downward bias. It really does need to sustain a move back above the 7,000 level. Perhaps more particularly, it needs to put in a higher reaction low in order to really confirm that people are willing to buy the dip again. Well, there was an article on the Wall Street Journal today which was saying that the buy the dip strategy, which has been so popular over the last few years, had failed to work on this occasion, but perhaps this is simply just a bigger dip. That's one of the big questions that is over, that is overhanging this market. I continue to keep a close eye on the Dow Jones for the simple reason that it is the index that had the clearest evidence of acceleration towards the end of last year. And what's also particularly interesting about it now is that it definitely had the failed upside break in September, but it has also come back and it is now back above the trend mean, just about, but it has held its sequence of higher reaction lows within our major reaction lows within this range. If it can continue to hold this move above the 25,000 level through the end of the week, then that would be potentially quite encouraging. What I think is also interesting is when we look at the NYSE FANG Plus index, well, it certainly has had a somewhat larger pullback. It has pulled back into the underlying range. It is back below the trend mean. This is a clear inconsistency relative to the consistency of the trend that we had up from the lows in 2016. It's another example of a chart that had lost some uptrend consistency at the penultimate high, because we had a much larger pullback in February of this year, but that was a mean reversion, and then it rebounded very emphatically to new highs and wasn't able to hold it. Well, now the question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above the trend mean. It has certainly bounced in here today, and Amazon, having been the share that pulled back most aggressively, has bounced from this $1,500 level, excuse me. Well, now the question is whether it is going to be able to push beyond the $1,600 area. Amazon needs to put in a higher reaction low. That's the thing that would really confirm that we have a low of more than short-term significance. Certainly when we look at the oversold conditions that have evolved, particularly within the technology sector, well, then And the fact that people have been asking, well, what's really changed on the economic front, and the answer being not an awful lot, well, then we do have the potential for a rebound. Having had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, it is quite normal to have an unwinding of the short-term oversold condition and a reversion back up towards the mean. Then the very big question is whether the trend mean, having been a reliable area of support on the way up, represents an area of resistance on the way down. So that is going to be a big question, for example, for the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, because that is one of the indices where we have the clearest evidence of top formation completion. What that also helps to, I think, really highlight is that we have got plenty of evidence here that a clear rotation is underway. And the rotation is increasingly moving into the kinds of shares that have got long and strong records of dividend growth. Well, then even within that sector, it is those that are clearly focused on the consumer sector rather than the industrial sector are the companies that are really starting to gain attention. So, for example, Coca-Cola has rallied rather impressively over the last couple of days, has broken up out of its most recent range. There's been a mild upward bias to trading over the last 5 years, but it is starting to look a bit better in here right now. Pepsi has got a relatively similar chart, although perhaps not quite as impressive. McDonald's is another company that falls into that category, and it is back testing its all-time highs. Then when we look at Yum Brands, which is KFC and Pizza Hut, well, that has bounced from the region of the trend mean and remains in a very much a consistent upward trend. Whereas then, even if we look at the technology sector, there is the world of difference between the performance of shares like Apple, which has bounced now from having not quite unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but it has certainly bounced in here over the last couple of days. Well, what is it that Apple and Microsoft have in common, but and they have both bounced from above or in the region of their trend means? Well, it's that they have dividend growth credentials that are rather impressive. Microsoft, for example, 1 year dividend growth rate of 7.69%. Apple has had a dividend growth rate of about 13% over the last 12 months. Whereas when we look at, for example, a company like Google, which certainly has the wherewithal to pay a dividend but does not do so, well, it's had more inconsistency creeping into the chart. This was perhaps the most consistent chart in the world until the beginning of this year. And then we have been treated to a succession of increasingly large reactions. The first inconsistency that it put in was that it rallied by more than $100. It rallied by $200, pulled back by $200, rallied by $300 off its low, and then pulled back by $300 from the peak. So it has certainly bounced from this $1,000 level, and that $1,000 level is an awfully big psychological level for this particular share. Generally speaking, technology companies that have both adopted a subscription business model and have adopted a dividend have tended to be spared some of the more aggressive selling pressure that we've seen over the course of this month, whereas it is in those more highly leveraged companies that are still relying on growth and market share capture that we've had the biggest pullbacks. Well, that's an additional signal that investors are looking at income, but they're looking at income from the perspective of a floating rate note environment. And part of the reason for that, of course, is because bond yields have continued to move higher. The 10-year Treasury yield has certainly held its move above the 3% level, and this doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation. And the dollar index also remains quite firm, and it is now pushing up and out of this range. Well, the most important thing that the price has done over the course of the last 18 months was to break the downtrend that persisted for just about all of 2017 and into the first quarter of this year. Now, having broken the downtrend, this has been the first consolidation, and it's looking increasingly likely that it's going to be resolved on the upside. Well, therefore, where you might ask yourself, where is the first area of potential resistance? Well, 100 stands out as a rather big level here. Then when we look at the euro, well, there isn't much appetite for a strong currency in Europe. They have got significant challenges. But the fact of the matter is that inflation is starting to pick up in Germany. And that may necessitate that the ECB begin to raise interest rates, regardless of the fact that that's probably not appropriate for a number of the weaker peripheral economies. But it was a reasonably positive day on Wall Street, and it was also a positive day in Europe. So there is a short-term oversold condition evident on the DAX. It has broken down from its most recent range. When we look at the consistency or otherwise of the trend since 2009, we have been treated to some really rather large pullbacks. And on each of those pullbacks, it has been able to muster the wherewithal to push back up above the trend mean. And usually that has happened after we've had a retest. So, for example, back in 2011, it broke down and then rallied to test the region of the trend mean, then put in a higher reaction low and broke out. Then, very similar situation was in 2015 and indeed in 2016, where the market had failed in the region of the trend mean first, but then put in the higher reaction low and broke out. Well, now we've had the breakdown. So if this pattern is going to be repeated, we should see that the price will rally back up towards the trend mean, which could even take it above 12,000. Then we could expect it to pull back and put in a higher reaction low, and that is perhaps the best case scenario for what has been a rather volatile and inconsistent trend over the course of the last decade. Then when we look at the FTSE 100, it has pulled back and tested the 7,000 level. Well, 7,000 for the FTSE is an awfully big psychological level because it represents the upper side of the underlying 16-year range. So if 7,000 holds, well, then we can continue to conclude that the FTSE 100 is putting in a first step above a long-term base. And obviously then people will be very much concerned with what's happening in terms of the pound and how much of that advance has been responsible or has how much the decline of the pound over the last few years has contributed to that advance in the FTSE. Well, we certainly saw a higher reaction low being put in today by the pound against the euro, and this is a rather interesting level for that to occur. And as long as it is holding this sequence of higher reaction lows over the last couple of months, well, this continues to look like support building for the pound. The UK and EU are starting to talk about the virtual certainty of a deal being agreed to by the end of the month. We're not yet in November, so by November 21st. And that's what the price or the cross rate between the pound and the euro has been telling us for at least the last year. It is in neither of these regions' interests to have or not to agree to an agreement. So that's, I think, one of the more important points here. That regardless of the fact that you have a great deal of brinksmanship going on both sides, then both have a very clear vested interest in coming to some form of agreement, quite whether that agreement is what UK voters thought they were voting for is an entirely different question. Well, now when we look at what's going on in China, I think what we're starting to see here is something that's quite important, because when we zoom in and look at it on a daily basis, the A-share index put in an upside key reversal and followed through on the upside in the middle of the month. Then it gave up part of the advance and put in a higher reaction low. Now it is starting to firm again. Well, what we're starting to see is that increasing evidence that the Communist administration are paying attention to the market. We might add a rider like finally on the end of that sentence. The A-share index has been trending lower all year. There is still a sequence of lower rally highs. If it can push back up into that overhead trading range, well, then that would certainly be positive. If it can continue to hold a sequence of higher reaction lows, that would be positive. More importantly, if it can push back above the trend mean, then that would be very positive indeed. But we're not quite there yet. If we think about monetary policy and the global money supply scenario, well, the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet and it is raising interest rates at the same time. So that is equivalent to quantitative tightening. The ECB is about to end its quantitative easing program and the Bank of Japan is starting to taper. Now, China has also been engaged in trying to lock down on the leverage situation within its financial sector in particular, and trying to instill some discipline on the regional governments, which has met with, I think, what might be considered limited success. And at the same time, it's also waging a trade war with the USA. So that's all weighed on the market. Now, with growth starting to deteriorate faster than had initially been anticipated, then now there has to be some case for fiscal stimulus. And it is from China where we can anticipate, or at least where the greatest hope for additional stimulus is likely to originate. If that does indeed factor through, well, there is ample potential for the Chinese market to outperform once more, not least because it is deeply oversold and has rather attractive valuations, and that is particularly true of the H-share index. And I need to type that somewhat. I don't know why my H, there we go, my H key was not working correctly. Well, we can see, for example, that the H-share has got a PE of 7 and a yield of 4. Well, if we start to see our the pricing in potentially of some form of stimulus, then that is likely to be of a benefit to the Chinese markets. But we're not quite there just yet. What I find also particularly interesting here is that the Nasdaq, excuse me, the I'm not being articulate, the Nikkei 225 has pulled back, and there is a short-term oversold condition, and now that appears to be unwinding. In much the same way that the FTSE 100 has tested the 7,000 level and is showing the first evidence of a rebound, well, the Nasdaq has not quite pushed back above the 7,000 level, but at least it has rebounded. And now we have the Nikkei is coming to came back, but didn't quite get to the 20,000 level, and that is also bouncing. So I think this is one of the stock market indices that has the greatest potential to do better from here, not least because there is less leverage within the market. But when we look at it historically, 20,000 has been an area of resistance on multiple occasions since the early 1990s, and now it represents an area of support. So this to me looks like a rather attractive entry opportunity from the perspective of a long investor in the Nikkei. And that's what I've been doing. Well, now when we look at where are we in terms of this cycle, we certainly know that liquidity conditions have been tightening, so therefore this is a particularly important time to pay attention to what central banks are doing globally, and most particularly China, because that's where the potential for a fiscal stimulus is most acute. Then we also have short-term oversold conditions, and part of the reason that we've had these very sharp oversold conditions is because of algorithmic trading, which has And the most successful strategy in a market that is rising is a momentum strategy and a buy and hold strategy. So you adopt a momentum strategy and you buy and hold. Well, that's fine, but when it becomes extraordinarily popular, then that also holds out the prospect that a lot of stops can get triggered at the same time, and that is exactly what we've had over the course of October. Well, now some of that is being unwound and the VIX index is starting to come back down. Well, as long as the VIX is rising, it necessitates that algorithmic funds have to reduce the size of their positions. And when it starts to contract again, they get to increase the size of their positions. And potentially that is what we're starting to see right now. But we're not quite at a point where we can sound the all clear yet, but certainly there is oversold conditions and there is bounces are underway. Now the question is, are they going to be able to push back above their respective trend means, and are we going to see higher reaction lows? If we see higher reaction lows, well, then that is going to confirm lows of not just short-term, but potentially medium-term significance. Now, because the dollar has been quite firm, then we should pay attention to what's going on with gold. And the price was down by about $7 in here today. It's back in the region of the upper side of that underlying trading range. And this is about where, if the price is going to bounce, this is exactly where it should start to happen. Silver prices, which had originally led on the upside, have been weaker than gold. They've come back down towards the region of the lower side of the range, evident since the beginning of October. But it really does need to hold that $14 area if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to support building, much less higher to lateral ranging. And platinum, having broken the sequence of lower rally highs, has been quite firm. And certainly, well, I think maybe that's an exaggeration, but it has been steady. If it can sustain a move above $850, well, then that is going to clearly signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And it has unwound the vast majority of its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. So this is an important area, but we can certainly start to talk now about a failed downside break below that psychological $800 level. And palladium, which has been and remains the clear leader within the precious metals sector, had pushed on to new high ground last week. Now we're getting some pause and consolidation. Now it was up $11 in here today, but that's not particularly much on a $1,000 commodity. And it does look like it is due some consolidation following that incredibly impressive rebound from the lows that we saw in August. Then copper prices, having pulled back to test at the region of the upper side of its underlying range yesterday, was weaker again in here today. There is a somewhat short-term oversold condition, but it really does need to push back up and into that range that persisted throughout most of October in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think when we look at the weekly chart, we can see just how much of an inconsistency this pullback has represented for the uptrend that began in early 2016. And in the absence of a really sustained move back above the trend mean, this is a downtrend. And I think that's something that is also tied to the perception of health within the Chinese economy, much less the global economy. Then, when we look at what's going on in India, the banking sector has been under rather acute pressure, but the Nifty was in positive territory today, and importantly, it is bouncing from this psychological 10,000 point level. But I think the vast majority of investors will be keeping an eye on the shares that pulled back most acutely. So, for example, Yes Bank collapsed, I think is probably the best term, in September, but now it is potentially putting in a higher reaction low. Then, when we look at Tata Motors, well, I'll look at it in the local currency, and we can see just how overextended it is on the downside. We're now starting to see just the first evidence of support starting to come back in. And it's not as if Tata Motors is going to go bust. In fact, what we've started to see is that some relative strength is starting to come back into the automotive sector. And certainly there was a short-term oversold condition on GM, and now we've had pretty impressive bounce following its results. So there's certainly some evidence here of rebounds on the way, and it isn't simply limited to the automotive sector. eBay rallied pretty impressively in here today, and that's an upside key reversal when we look at it on a weekly basis. So obviously it needs to hold on to this advance through the balance of the week and potentially improve upon that, but there's no denying that we have short-term oversold conditions, and this is a natural area where we could anticipate at least some support starting to come back in. And the biotech sector had pulled back really very violently, and now it is testing the lows since the beginning, or really the middle of 2017. So this is an area where we could anticipate some support coming through, but it does certainly has work to do in order to really demonstrate a return to demand dominance beyond short-term steadying. So certainly we've had some easing of the selling pressure that's been mounting in stock markets. There is the fact, of course, that we have the congressional elections are next week, that there has been some selling in advance of that. That has triggered stops. that we've that created short-term oversold conditions. So there is the potential that there is a lot of sell the rumor. We may get some buy the news in here. This we're getting some buy the news in here this week, and that could represent some upside follow through next week. So this is a particularly interesting time in markets because we've had a fairly substantial pullback. Key areas of potential support are being tested. We're starting to see the first evidence of rebounds, and the next big question will be how well can these lows hold? But so far, things are looking somewhat better. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.